live.
I'm your host, Nabunga Zimbabwe, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. We'll be covering the Trayvon Martin case, particularly the march that happened on yesterday in St. Petersburg, Florida, around the Trayvon Martin case. We think it's important to continue to speak to this case because mobilizing a case right now, mobilizing Africans and other peoples all across the U.S. And expanding beyond just the U.S. And the case exemplifies the type of colonial violence that has been imposed on African people for the duration of the relationship that we're in with U.S. and European imperialism the past several hundred years. This type of colonial violence has been, you know, the status quo, has been the norm for Africans and other oppressed peoples with this relationship imposed on us. And so we want to continue to speak to the Trayvon Martin case. Right now we're seeing an intensifying campaign in the media to to justify the murder of Trayvon Martin. We're seeing George Zimmerman's family speaking out, and we see the media reporting these stories from George Zimmerman's family, which contradict, you know, the evidence and what we've heard up to now. This story that Trayvon Martin actually attacked George Zimmerman and claimed that he was going to kill him, which is ridiculous, considering the fact that you have the 911 call where George Zimmerman is following, is chasing Trayvon Martin with a gun, where you have the person who Trayvon was on the phone with, the young sister who Trayvon was on the phone with, hearing on the phone Trayvon Martin ask George Zimmerman why he's following him, and George Zimmerman replying to that, you know, what are you doing here? You know, which is contradictory to what has been explained by George Zimmerman's family, along with this claim by George Zimmerman that Trayvon was beating him and pounding his head into the pavement, where we've seen now video from when the police were questioning George Zimmerman, where there was no evidence of such a thing. But the reality is, even if Trayvon hit George Zimmerman, even if Trayvon Martin was punching George Zimmerman, the reality is he had a right to. You know, here he is, a 17-year-old African being chased by a gun-toting thug who eventually kills him, you know, this is, you know, clearly, you know, he's about to be another case of colonial violence, you know, that we Africans have experienced all the time. All the time Africans have to experience this terror, whether it's from the police or from some regular white person chasing Africans down and killing them. You know, all the time Africans are facing this kind of terror of colonial violence. And so if Trayvon did hit George Zimmerman, then he had a right to. He had a right to. And the what is implied, you know, by these statements is that, you know, is that this justifies George Zimmerman, who was chasing this child, you know, and killed him, that the fact that Trayvon Martin resisted, you know, is justifying his murder. And that's ridiculous. That makes no sense. And Africans have a right to resist colonial violence. It's too bad that Trayvon was not able to stop George Zimmerman from killing him. But what we have to do is get organized to make sure that this type of thing is not able to continue to happen to our people. So we're going to be covering today the march that occurred on yesterday in St. Petersburg, Florida, the city of resistance around Trayvon Martin. Justice for Trayvon Martin. And before we play clips from that, I do want to play a brief clip of a presentation made by Trayvon Martin's cousin, Xavier Knowles, at the Uhuru House on last Sunday, March 25th, at the regular community meeting of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. This is a presentation made by Xavier Knowles, the cousin of Trayvon Martin.
Uhuru. Well, I'm gonna just speak from the heart. I haven't wrote anything down or anything like that, but the situation, I mean, there's so many avenues to touch bases on it. I really don't know where to start. I was in Orlando when the incident happened because it was the All-Star weekend, just to give you guys a insight from the family perspective, you know, to be in that inner circle. On my way back, I got a call from my mom. I was passing through Tampa. She called me in tears crying about it, you know, because I was in Orlando celebrating, you know, the celebrities, stars, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, wow, you know. And, you know, I was kind of sad, hurt a little bit. I was getting texts from my aunts, cousins, a lot of the relatives back in Miami. That's really where predominantly my family is located. So with that being said, it was like signed a petition. When I signed the petition, it was like 28, you know, and then a week later it was like 300. It was pretty much my aunt, Trayvon's more immediate family, and it had to be maybe about 9-10 of us on Facebook, Twitter, just, you know, making everything aware. And before you know it, just start spreading, you know. The DJ in Orlando on 94.5, Star 94.5, I can't think of his name right now, it won't come to me. I'm a little bit nervous speaking in front of everybody. But he was very big on it. The media in Miami definitely had a big impact on the influence of, you know, of the recognition and putting it out there, you know. And it's just, you know, to be, what, 2012 now, for things to still be going on like this. I mean, how many times that things like this happen? I mean, it's just fortunate, you know, my family is very united, very strong. We're always looking out for each other. We're always supportive by us migrating in different cities and stuff like that. You know, we build a network with each other, and, you know, that just pretty much make things stronger of awareness. But, you know, it just come to think, because it's not just only Trayvon, like, you know, some of you guys touched earlier. You know, I remember watching on the news the 96 riots here in St. Pete. I don't know the specifics about it, but I remember there was rioting in St. Pete back then. And, you know, it's more than just that. You know, it boils down to politics. I'm glad to see that, you know, it's surfacing to the point where it's getting political attention. You know what I mean? Because it's a lot of subliminal Jim Crow laws that still go on today. You know that, I mean, you think there's more on the issue of stand your ground law, but nobody's talking about, they should be talking about 10-20 life law. You know, when really that's when I'm talking about more people, you know, you have more people getting time for nonviolent crimes. Now, I'm not saying selling drugs is good, but how you have people, you know, getting more time and license for selling drugs, and then you got people out here murdering people, you know what I mean? So it should boil down to politics. And then I think also, too, I mean, with people like Tea Partiers and stuff like that, in my opinion, you know, I think it's like subliminal, you know, racism in a sense, just by, you know, the issues and things. It seems like they're out of touch with people that go through struggles, you know, predominantly minority people, and things like that. So I think for it's very important to get out and vote, you know, for people on the left. I mean, it could be the perfect storm for them, because, I mean, some of us minorities, or, you know, people of the Democratic Party, is like, some of us more comfortable could tell, oh, Obama the president, oh, we're happy. You know, we done hit the ultimate peak and goal in life. Everything done changed overnight. But no, it hasn't. You know what I'm saying? So it's sad that an incident like, you know, Trayvon had to be a lamb to make awareness of certain things that's going on. It's like putting Cuban coffee under your nose. You know, okay, wake up. You know, there's things still going on out here, you know. And it's very important, like, you know, movements like Uruhu, and, you know, there are other movements that may be out there that's, you know, trying to raise self-awareness and be organized and lead things in a positive direction. That way, you know, people can unite for a better cause, you know, and to push forward. And, you know, and like Chimurenga said, you know, stand your ground. You know, we got to stand our ground, you know, if you want to have something and you know, kind of be independent as a people, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm just keep going off the head here. But you know, it's kind of lost for words a little bit, but you know, it's very important that, you know, we just stay on top of things like this, stay on the ball, and you know, awareness, I believe, is just very important, you know. But I mean, that's pretty much, you know, I wanted to share with you guys, and I just hope that this incident is just what, you know, is just cut short, because it's a lot of things that's going on today that we don't hear about, and it's bigger than Zimmerman itself, in my opinion, because it boils down to, you know, how law enforcement's handling, you know, they let the guy go with the gun, there's no ballistics test, you know, to say, okay, where he got shot, so on and so forth. So that falls on law enforcement, and that falls on city council, and if you follow that trail, it falls on the voters, too. You know, we got to get out there and vote to put the right people that, you know, in office to make the right moves, you know, that's going to work for, you know, us, whoever. You know, I'm not gonna say, you know, for us African people, but for whoever, you know, to do what's right. Right is right, wrong is wrong, you know. And so, you know, I'm glad you guys are here to listen to me, you know, speak and share, you know, just a little insight of the experience of Trayvon, and, you know, thank you.
That was Xavier Knowles, the cousin of Trayvon Martin, speaking at the Uhuru House in St. Petersburg, Florida, on March 25th, last Sunday. We're going to continue the program with playing some presentations from the march that happened on just yesterday, March 31st. For justice for Trayvon Martin. The march was led by Princess Williams, the local president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement in St. Petersburg, Florida. And we're going to begin the coverage of this march with her opening statements at the rally.
We have to stand and fight against it. 1996, Tyron Lewis lost his life to this state, to this system. 2012, Trayvon Martin losing his life to this system. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to continue to stand around and cry? See these mothers cry? See these fathers cry? Get mad, get angry, and do nothing? We have to get organized. We have to get organized. And the only way to get organized is to stand against this reactionary violence. Stand against the war that's going on in our African community. It's a war here. It's a war just like it's in Afghanistan, just like if it's in Libya. It's a war right here in St. Pete, right here in Sample. It's a war that's raging on our people every day. And we have to be opposed, and we have to stand against this. Where you can get organized, you can come to Empty Dome, Uhuru House, 1245 18th Avenue South. We organize against all this type of stuff all the time. This is what we do. We fight for liberation and self-determination for our African people. For us, for you, for me, for our kids. Do we want to see our kids have to grow up and be worried if they walking down the street with a hoodie and a bag of Skittles and a goddamn bag of tea that they going to get shot down? For real. Do we want to continue to have to worry about that?
No!
Do we want to continue to have to worry about our kids can't walk off the block and go into a neighborhood that they so-called is prestigious or whatever, middle class, upper class, and they walking through and look suspicious, being racially profiled like we do over there and in our own community? So we got to understand it ain't nothing about race. It's about us being colonized as people, and we have to stand together and get organized. And I just want to thank everybody for coming out to this rally, to this march, marching with us for Trayvon Martin and Tyrone Lewis family and Jamon Dawson family and Marquell McCullen family, because it doesn't end. This is a long history that started a long time ago when they first brought us over here.
Good evening, everybody. Good to see everybody out here. I mean, it's sad that it took an event like Trayvon for us to be here today, but it's, you know, awareness. We all need to unify and stick together. People will come together as one to stand up for injustice. Also, this is like nothing new in this system in the state. We can go back before Taiwan. We can take it to McDuffie in Miami. We can take it to Lozano in Miami and bring it up to 96 to with Taiwan and other people who have been killed by injustices and corruption by the system. It takes a lot of groups and everybody, you know, you guys make a difference. I mean, we watch movies and we read history books of people marching and trying to come together to make a change, to make a better world for our kids, for the future, and to unify. Each one of you guys make a difference. I mean, you look around, I mean, numbers all add up. And if you take a stand for what's right, you know, you have changes. I can remember growing up, being a black male, growing up in Miami, I mean, it was about, oh, don't have gold teeth, you know. You had those talks with your parents, oh, don't wear dreads because, you know, you'll be profiled and stereotyped. But you look around now, you see dreads are real more accepted. You can see white folks wearing dreads nowadays. It takes things to take a stand. Groups like the Uru, Zulu Nation, and Nation of Islam, and you know, everybody ought to come together and stand for what's right. I mean, everybody, I mean, yes, Trayvon was my cousin, but, I mean, all you guys make a difference. You guys are just as much as powerful than the family that I have that brought the awareness through social networking. All you guys out here make a difference. You know, you should be proud of yourselves for doing the right thing and, you know, to get the attention and let people out here know that, you know, this stuff's still going on, you know. There's still injustice in this country going on. A lot of times it's just brushed up under the rug. So it's very important that, you know, people are aware and that, you know, we keep fighting and taking a stand, you know, to try to make changes in the world. So, like, you know, we want this to end with Trayvon. You know, people are sick and tired of it. It's touching everybody from coast to coast, north to south, east to west, over in Europe and Australia, Africa. I mean, this is getting awareness. And a focal point is on us right here in this state. And, you know, we know Florida got some issues. We can go back to the 2000 election. We can go back to the Casey Anthony trial. You know, Florida has to get it together, you know. And you know, all of us, we're sick and tired, you know. So, I mean, each of us out here should be proud. I mean, you watch movies with people marching. You read our history books, you know. We didn't get sprayed with no water hoses today, you know, changes. And we're going to continue to make changes until, you know, things come together to work for us, too. And, I mean, I didn't write, now I'm just speaking off the heart, but, I mean, we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and be pushed around or be stepped across like a doormat, you know. Thank you.
That was it. Princess Williams, the president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, opening the rally up, followed by Xavier Knowles, the cousin of Trayvon Martin, speaking at the march in St. Petersburg, Florida, led by the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement for Justice for Trayvon Martin. We're going to continue the presentations here. The next presentation we're going to play is one made by Reverend Bruce Wright of The Refuge. And following that, we're going to play a presentation made by Penny Hess, the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee at the March for Justice for Trayvon Martin in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Good afternoon. I'm proud to be here. Because this is where Jesus would be. All right? Now, a lot of people in the white church just don't get that. They don't get that. They don't get that Jesus wasn't a white man. Okay? They don't get that Jesus was indigenous. They don't get that Jesus was a revolutionary. That's where Jesus would be, here. And fundamentally, I have a problem. As one of the rare white ministers that shows up at these kinds of things, I have a problem. Because there's a whole group of churches out there that say they follow Jesus. They're not following the Jesus that I see in the Bible. They're not following the Jesus that I know. Because if they were, they'd be here. They would have spoke out early. But the tragedy is, you've got churches who name the name of Christ that are listening to clowns like Geraldo Rivera on Fox 13. Are listening to that damnable white supremacist that took and hacked into Trayvon's internet and spread vicious lies and rumors. They listen to their white pastors in their padded pews that refuse to get out there and speak out against injustice. You cannot have peace. You cannot have peace without justice. No justice?
No peace.
No justice?
No peace.
No justice?
No peace.
So I stand here today, humbled and yet challenged. And I hope we all are. Because Trayvon, as has already been underscored, is the tip of the iceberg of hundreds of years of repression against African people, against indigenous people, against Latino people, against poor people. We have cities like ours that criminalize poor people and put them in a jail annex up in Clearwater and call that a shelter. I call that incarceration. We have 7 million people in our country in the justice so-called system, the majority of whom are African and Latino. Why? Because they happen to have a different pigment of skin. That's the majority of the reason why. And this clown Zimmerman must be called to justice. He must be tried and convicted of a crime. But that crime is not a singular crime. It is a crime of the justice system, of police containment, of police forces all around the country that repress freedom, that are looking in Tampa to repress freedom of speech for the RNC when it comes. This is why we must be here. This is why we must speak out. This is why we are called to fight for justice. No justice?
No peace!
No justice?
No peace!
Thank you. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Uhuru, thank you. Thank you, brother.
Uhuru!
Uhuru!
Uhuru. Black life.
Justice.
Justice for the African community and reparations. My name is Penny Hess, and I am the chair of the African People Solidarity Committee. That is the organization formed by the African People Socialist Party that leads the Uhuru movement. And our work is to take this struggle into the white community to tell the truth about how things got to be the way they are right now, so that a young African walking down the street gets shot for wearing a hoodie, when we know that no white kid walking anywhere would be killed by Crime Watch or anybody else wearing a hoodie. But that doesn't happen in the white community. And that we live in two Americas, two realities. And that we understand, first of all, that this system was built on the enslavement of African people. Without that, there wouldn't be gated white communities. There wouldn't be wealth in the white community. And in fact, they say that African people are on welfare. Well, the truth is, white people have been on welfare from Africans for the last 500 years. And that we recognize that there is a war going on. No different than what the U.S. is doing in Afghanistan right now. No different than what the U.S. was doing in Iraq for 10 years. No different than what the U.S. is doing anyplace else around the world. The police aren't the police. They're a military force occupying the African communities here. The police don't do that in the white community. the African community and that the banks make money off of to criminalize and imprison and send a war against the African community right now. In fact, we know that if there wasn't these prisons full of Africans making billions of dollars to the U.S. economy, this crisis that the U.S. needs right now would have happened 30 years ago. It would have happened 30 years ago. So we say that we recognize that there are millions of people in this prison gulag that is full of Africans that makes billions and billions of dollars for the white economy right now. We recognize that there's a war going on against Africans. The police don't act like that in the white community at all. And so we call for reparations. Reparations to the African community. We know that there are so many Africans who have been shot down and killed by the police, by regular white people, and that this has to stop. That it is not a question, it's not enough to say that we're against racism, that we are against the colonial occupation going on right here, and that we stand for the struggle and the right of African people to resist and have power in your own hands. And we call for an end to this war against the African community. We call for reparations to African people.
Uhuru!
Uhuru, thank you, Chairwoman Penny Hess. Uhuru!
Tune into our second annual Uhuru Radiothon Saturday and Sunday, May 5th and 6th. We continue to raise much-needed funds for improving the operations of your community radio station and the Burning Spear newspaper online. Joining us will be guests from Brooklyn to the Bahamas, from Guyana to Ghana, from St. Petersburg to St. Lucia, from Montserrat to Monrovia, from Senegal to Seattle, from Oakland to Orlando. This is your media, Uhuru News, Uhuru Radio. You can donate today by logging on to uhurunews.com as we rely on your support to get the truth out about our struggle for freedom. Join us during our live video broadcast of our Uhuru Radiothon Saturday and Sunday, May 5th and 6th at uhururadio.com. Uhuru means freedom. Uhuru.
Uhuru, and welcome back to Africa Live here on uhururadio.com. Just before we broke for promotions, we were playing the presentation by Penny Hess, Chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, at the St. Petersburg March for Justice for Trayvon Martin, the march led by the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. And before that, we played a presentation made by Reverend Bruce Wright of The Refuge. I had to note that this was the march that was done by the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement because it was not the only march that was held on yesterday for justice for Trayvon Martin. Following the announcement on last week of the march that MPDUM was holding for justice for Trayvon, following the announcement of that in the media, etc., we saw another march get organized by some others in the city from a organization, NCLC, which was interesting. We found interesting because, first of all, it would seem to us that if the objective is to get justice for Trayvon Martin, then the ideal thing is to get as many people as possible united around that question. And if there's a demonstration happening, it seems that it would make no sense to try to hold a second demonstration at the same time in the same city. Of course, that's if your objective is to unite the community. However, the holding, the calling of a second march when there's already one happening in the city, it seems to me would have to would have the effect if nothing else, of dividing the communities, unity around this question. And we hope that that is not the case. However, history is a great teacher, and one thing we've learned is that oftentimes we find when unity is beginning to be achieved inside of the community, inside of the African community, especially if that unity is being achieved under the leadership of the African working class, then there are all types of efforts made to divide that unity, oftentimes using the black middle class as a tool to divide that unity and bring some of our community to serving the interests of those who oppress us. And that's one of the reasons why we note the fact that this was the march held by the International People's Democratic Rule Movement in St. Petersburg, Florida, and we, you know, we really want to call the question on that, because it's we have to be opposed to these attempts by our oppressors to use forces inside of our community against our community, to use forces inside of our community, particularly the black male class, to divide our community at times where we are achieving more unity than others, you know, and we have to be opposed to that. And one of the things that is spoken to in one of the last presentations we're going to hear from that march is the fact that if your oppressor is endorsing somebody, then chances are that's somebody who you should be opposed to. And one of the things we found is right leading up to the march, where the march is, what we saw is a media blackout of the march that MPDOM was holding, that was calling not just for justice for Trayvon, but for an end to the war against the African community. And the media instead was giving a whole lot of play to the other march that was happening here, that was not going to City Hall, because this march here went to City Hall, recognizing that the violence that we experienced by the George Zimmermans and other, you know, regular white nationalists inside of these cities where we find ourselves at, that violence is an extension of the violence of the state, you know, that is waged against African people for the purpose of keeping us in place, keeping us in this relationship where we are exploited and oppressed. And so I wanted to note that. And we're going to go now to more of the presentations at the MPDOM-led March for Justice for Trayvon Martin that was held on yesterday in St. Petersburg, starting from the Uhuru House, going to City Hall. This next presentation is a presentation that I made at the March for Justice for Trayvon.
Today as a response to the murder of Trayvon Martin. Let's not be, you know, let's not just say killing of Trayvon Martin. That was murder. Just like it was murder when they took Javon Dawson. Just like it was murder when police chased down Markwell McCullough and pumped 14 or 19, how many bullets into the car, and they said, oh, we got the wrong guy. Just like it was murder when they shot down Tyron Lewis in 1996. This was murder. And it ain't new. It ain't nothing new. Cold-blooded murder. Ain't nothing new about it. People have talked about how this is reminiscent of Emmett Till, who in the 1950s was found. His body was found in the river, 14 years old, found in the river. And he was found in the river, lynched. He had been lynched. He had been brutally beaten to the point where he was disfigured. You couldn't even tell who he was. The only reason why they could tell who he was is because of the ring that he had. And then they said they did it because he was looking suspicious.
just like this young brother was looking suspicious. But the reality is, it ain't got nothing to do with suspicion. It ain't got nothing to do with hoodies or Skittles or iced tea. It ain't got nothing to do with that. So y'all quit giving Skittles all your money. Because it ain't got nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is this war on our community. Is this attack that continues to come down against our community to maintain this relationship, to keep us in place. That's what it's about. When Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin, that was to keep the niggas in place. When they killed Emmett Till, that was to keep the niggas in place. And as quiet as it's kept, when the police killed Javon Dawson and Marquell McCullough and Tyron Lewis and Gerald Walker, that was to keep the niggas in place. That's what it's for. That's the purpose of this kind of violence. And we can't allow that to happen. We can't act like this is some isolated incident every time they kill one of our children. We can't act like that. We can't come out with a new demonstration and say justice for this person or justice for that person as if that's the only thing that's happening, as if that ain't got nothing to do with a long process that's continuing to happen. We have to respond to it as if it's not an isolated incident. We have to respond to it as if it is a war on our community. And what do you do if there's a war on your community? You get organized to fight that. Right. You get organized and stop the war. You get organized and stop the war. And that's what we got to be engaged in. We can't just think about, you know, justice in this case alone. Because the reality is, they are most likely going to lock up George Zimmerman. And the reason why they probably going to lock up George Zimmerman is because you here right now. And they don't want you to be here right now. They want you to go home and pretend like the war is over. After they lock up George Zimmerman. But the reality is, this is an ongoing war. And if you act like it's just Trayvon Martin today, then it will be you tomorrow. It will be your son or your daughter tomorrow. And we can't allow that to happen. We got to get organized, y'all. We got to get organized for power in our own community. Because the reality is, as long as somebody else controls your community, as long as somebody else controls what happens in your community, then you're subject to whatever they want to do to you. As long as this system can say your child dies, or your child should be locked up forever, you know, can be locked up forever, then this can continue to happen in your community. We got to get organized, y'all. We got to get organized for power in our own hands. And that takes us being on the grind constantly, not just today, but we got to be on the grind tomorrow. We got to be on the grind beyond that, and we got to get organized, y'all. So we need to be in organization, you know, and not just any kind of organization, because there are some organizations out there that'll lead marches, that'll tell you, you know, the solution is to go out and vote for Obama. But hell, we did that already. And they killed Trayvon. You know, and the most we got out of that is that Trayvon looked like what his son might look like. You know, the reality is, for us, we got to be organized for power. And power ain't voting for a good Negro or a good white man to be to have power over us. Power for us has to be organized in this community to be able to respond, because the reality is, as long as they can kill your children, kill our children, without having to pay a price, they're going to continue to do it. So once we get organized to the point where they can't kill our children without having to be concerned about some kind of response, without having to be concerned about having to pay some kind of price, it's going to happen. So we need to get organized, y'all. That's the task for us today, to get organized, to organize this community, to organize our community. In our own interest, not in somebody else's interest, because all the time we're getting organized for somebody else. We're getting organized to go, you know, rock the boat, or to go, you know, do something else, you know. But the reality is, we got to get organized for power in our own community. And that's going to take all of us. We can't do it just a handful of us. So that's why everybody needs to be signed up. The Clint War is coming around. Everybody needs to be signed up to say, I want to be a part of this process. I want to make sure it ain't another Trayvon Martin case. It ain't another Tyron Lewis case. It ain't another Javon Dawson case. It ain't another Ayanna Jones, 7 years old, head blown, you know, blown her head off. It's 7 years old, you know, and they've done it after Trayvon. Rekia Boyd in Chicago, who undercover cop rolled up on and shot him down, you know, and then claimed somebody pointed a gun at him. or a cell phone that looked like a gun, or whatever, you know?
Right.
Another case of being suspicious.
Yes.
Reality is we got to get organized. So
yes.
Those clipboards, if you ain't signed the clipboard, you need to sign the clipboard. If you ain't involved in this movement, you need to be involved in the Uhuru movement. That's where you need to be. Because we organizing for our own power in our own community. Control economics in our community. Control what money comes in and out.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because we tired of just having to work for somebody else.
Yes.
Right? And make somebody else rich at our expense.
Right.
Controlling what happens in terms of who can come in and do whatever in this community. We got to be organized for that kind of power. So I just wanted to say that and say, touch one.
Touch
one.
Touch one.
Don't let them take another black life.
Not another black life.
Uhuru. Uhuru means freedom. If you didn't hear that when Princess said it before at the Uhuru House, and that's what we're after. I want to talk a few minutes about the status quo in the state. Not about George Zimmerman so much, because George Zimmerman was actually acting as an extension of white power, an extension of the state. Because the police kill us all the time, right?
Yeah.
They kill us in New York, they kill us in Washington, they kill us in Chicago. So now all you see happen is an extension of that white power coming from the police, and now they're extending it again to the white citizens of the U.S.
Right.
We are an oppressed nation, brothers and sisters. We are a nation. Everywhere. We in Belgium, France, on the continent of Africa, Jamaica, Barbados. We are one nation.
Yes.
That's why we say touch one.
Touch all.
Touch one.
Touch all.
So we mean when we touch one, when you touch one in Sanford, Florida, you touching us in Belgium.
Uh-huh.
When you touch us in Sanford, Florida, you touching us on the continent of Africa.
Uh-huh.
We gonna be organizing demonstrations in Europe because we believe the U.S. government and the city of Sanford, they have the same policy of police containment of the African community. If that wasn't true, then why would they have in this city as a substitute for economic development for African people, all you see is a ring of steel in the form of the police. These crazy street crime units running around giving people stop sign tickets, beating them up. That is the state. That is the same people Zimmerman represents. That's who he represents. And they are giving carte blanche to the execution of African people on the street. You know why? It was not a surprise to the white, see the white folks in Sanford, in the police department, when they said they weren't going to charge Zimmerman, that wasn't no surprise. They were, should you complain?
Right.
They were. Because they said this is the way we supposed to treat niggas. Are you crazy?
Right.
That's
what we always
done. Because that's the way it's always been.
Exactly.
When we brought you here, we beat you with whips.
Yes.
Under Jim Crow, we lynched you.
Yes.
So what are you complaining about?
Because
it's much deeper than what happened to Trayvon Martin. And that's the message here today. I want to really encourage people to buy the Burnsville newspaper. The Binger has them right over there. They cost $1. It's the only African revolutionary newspaper in this country. Oldest one in the world. And you need to get a hold of this newspaper. What these white folks are doing now, what the white power state is doing now is cause for revolution.
Yes.
These are revolutionary times.
Yes.
These are revolutionary times. Because y'all done tried civil rights.
Yes.
Y'all done tried a colored president.
Yes.
Y'all done tried everything.
Yes.
And that didn't work.
Because
people try the easiest thing first.
Yes. Yes.
That's natural human. Yes. Right. Well, revolution is a tough deal. I want to try something else first.
Right.
I want to try civil rights first. I want to try to let them stick the dogs on me first.
Right.
And we did that. Okay, that day is over.
Yes.
Uhuru.
That day is over.
Yes.
And now the time to fight for our freedom and take it to its logical conclusion is here.
Yes.
I know some people still scared of that word revolution, but Malcolm X said if you knew what a revolution was, you would jump back in the culture. But now you know what Jim Crow is, you know what lynching is, you know what the civil rights movement did. How can you consider yourself an American, an a citizen, when they have to make laws to give you rights?
Right.
Ooh, how does that work? We didn't volunteer to be citizens of the U.S.
Nope.
We bought them an oppressor nation, an oppressed nation.
Yeah.
We are victims of America.
Yeah.
Victims of an oppressor nation. So we are one nation, comrades. And we can't put up with the status quo. The status quo is people like Zimmerman and the police shooting us down in the street. It's time to change that. We have to get organized. I want to really repeat the message that Princess and the Bingo put out about getting organized. Tomorrow is going to be a meeting at New Hoover House at 4 o'clock. Let me see the hands of the people who are going to come to the meeting. Now, if you don't raise your hand, that means that you think it's just about arresting George Zimmerman. Now, if you raise your hand, then you know that it goes beyond that, and we're fighting for our total liberation. Now, I'm going to say it again. Let me see the hands of the people who are going to be at the meeting at 4 o'clock tomorrow at the Hoover House. Okay, some people still don't get it. But that's okay. That's okay. You're going to eventually get it. Because it's going to be more Trayvon Martins until we get organized. So what we have to do is get organized. Binger talked about organization, and we ain't talking about just any organization. We talk about the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. That's our mass organization. They always call us the Uhuru, but it's the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement.
International.
That's the international, because it's all over the world. It's in Africa, in France, in Belgium. People can't even speak English. They can say NPD. They can say International People's Democratic. So I want to encourage everybody to come to the meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We're going to be summing up this march and talking about some other things, how to move forward. Not just with the Trayvon case, but how to move around the street crime shooting and the other issues facing our community. I want to say one other thing. This morning, the media was putting out that it was a local march around Trayvon, and they said the march was happening going to Spa Beach. Now, some of y'all looking surprised. However, let me tell you what silly Negroes do. When we organized this demonstration, which got announced last Saturday in the newspaper, some Negroes jumped up and said, what would the white folks want us to do to stop these Africans? And they organized a counter-demonstration. That's exactly what they did. They went out the next day and organized a demonstration and said, we're going to go to Spa Beach. I don't know what they're going to Spa Beach for, because that's where you have a picnic at. This ain't no picnic. This time to get organized. This serious business. So I don't care if they got 2,000 people down there. The people who are serious business is right here. And I just want to say that we're really calling for African unity. So whenever you hear us say we're doing a demonstration, an action, and then you see some other Negroes 2 days later say, well, boss, what do you think we should do to stop them? You know that that's the wrong people to follow.
Amen.
Don't follow them. I don't care what they call themselves. So, y'all ready to get organized?
Yeah.
Y'all ready to get organized?
Yeah.
Y'all ready to get organized?
Yeah.
So we only have a few minutes left. We're going to close it out with a presentation made by Guy de Cambone at the March for Justice for Trayvon Martin, held by NPDOM, the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, on yesterday. We want to call for people to get organized. It's not enough just to be upset about Trayvon Martin's case. It's not enough just to do demonstrations about Trayvon Martin's case. We got to get organized to overturn the system itself that makes Trayvon Martin's victims, that makes African people our victims. You know, we have to get organized for power in our own hands so that we can defend our own community and stop these types of things from happening. So, Uhuru, one Africa, one nation.
Uhuru, everybody, and like Chimarenga said, Uhuru is freedom, and freedom is what's on our mind. All of this is happening to us, and it happens to us continuously because we are not free. Let nobody tell you anything else, because if you had power, you'd teach people how to stop killing.
Right.
If you had, people with power don't get killed every day. People with power don't get targeted and victimized every day.
Right.
That is what we need. We must be organized. If we didn't show some show of force by doing what we did, we would have never heard anything more about Trayvon.
Right.
They weren't going to do anything. Like Chimarenga said, they did exactly what they're used to do, what they know they should do. They said, fine, go home, this will blow over. You're going to be out here for 9 days, then we're going to bear it out. And if needed, they're going to give you a sacrificial lamb, if needed. Because they know now, because you've been out here over and over, all around the country, all around the world, we are saying not another black life. We're saying we're not going to stand for it anymore. And so that is what is forcing them to say, okay, we might have to give up Zimmerman. But it meant that we had to get into the street and show some power. So that should teach you. That should teach you, like Chimarenga just told you, that they got to get and organize their people and send them out there in a counter demonstration, because this one, they know, is not going to do what's politically correct or spare somebody's feeling or not tell the truth, because the truth may feel being uncomfortable. But you know what? We've been uncomfortable for 400 years.
Yes.
We have to demand the truth, because without the truth, we will not be free.
Yes.
We have to demand the truth so that we ourselves can empower ourselves, because again, when you got power, you'll be surprised how everybody like you.
Yes.
Everybody will like you when you have some power.
Yeah.
So we're saying that we have to come out and get organized. They sent a lot of counter, you've seen it. I've been to some, I've been to the ones in Sanford. People go to it, they stand around, you know, they have people talk at them, and then they go home, and then they go to another demonstration, and another demonstration. We would have to become organized. Zimmerman was organized.
Yes.
He knew he had an organized force behind
yes.
him, and that's what empowered him to do what he
yes.
did.
Yes.
We have, the solution is that we have to get organized.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about in the Uhuru movement right now. We're talking about organization. As we're saying, we have to stay.